We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs postgame show podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app, use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Well, Luke Stuckmeyer, Cody Delmendo, hopefully Ryan Herrera before the end of the podcast. Homestand ends with a wah, wah, wah.
That's one way to put it.
First of all, a 4-5 homestand is not good enough. Period. I don't care who you're playing. 4-5 is not good enough at home.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to sweep the Rays. You would have felt positive leaving town after the lowest of the low of being swept by the Reds. But letting this one slip away not once, but twice, and having Justin Steele leave with a potential injury.
Yeah.
This one. Boy, do they need – how many times am I going to say that this – throughout the year, boy, do they need an off day tomorrow.
Yeah, this one sucks, dude. Like, and honestly, they have no one to blame but themselves. Like, yeah, like, I thought Ian Happ getting rung up on strikes in the eighth inning was bullshit because, you know, it was a ball. It was a borderline pitch, but it was a ball. But at the same time, you know, they had opportunities to tack on, especially in the later innings. And then the ninth inning, you're gifted whenever Wisdom hits the ground ball to third. The guy makes a bad throw to second base. Like, they were gifted.
They gave you life. Gave you life.
They were gifted, and they couldn't get it done. Yeah, man. I don't really have much to say about a lot of – about how the game ended other than, like, the Rays literally tried to give you the game, and you didn't take advantage. You know, Mastroboni could have walked in his at bat. Instead, he swings at the high fastball, something that he has struggled with. And then Gomes, I mean, he had a 3-0 count, and he swings at a 3-1 ball. And then even the 3-2 pitch that he actually hit pretty well out to left, it was a ball.
I said
too.
I would have.
It's a tough pitch to take or whatever, yeah. But still, like. They had the opportunity to tie the game. Now, that is what it is. It just sucks. Like, there's no one to blame really but themselves. While the umpire was inconsistent today, I would agree. They had their opportunities. And the way they started the game, it felt like they were going to roll and sweep the series with the way the game started, scoring two runs in the first inning. Justin Steele looked really good. And then even whenever he came out and Wesneski came in, things looked good. But then the bullpen again.
Let's get to that.
Sucks.
So we obviously are going to talk about the injury to Justin Steele. We'll talk about the lack of clutch hitting that the Cubs have struggled with. Yep. I know there are people in the chat, and I can't say we didn't kind of look and say the same thing. What did you think of Wesneski coming out when the only hit he had given up was really should have been an error on Dansby Swanson.
Yeah.
And he comes out, and Leiter, who has been fantastic against left-handed hitters, gives up a home run.
In hindsight, I can't blame David Ross for that. Also, though, this can also be true. Sometimes you don't always have to roll with like the analytics or like the, you know, the numbers or whatever.
It is easier for me to say that now.
Right.
Of course, but
like to me it's one
it
of those
was a matchup.
To me it's one of those feel things, right? Like, yes, Leiter has dominated lefties, and Hayden Wisniewski has not been very good against lefties. Also, I don't know how many.
No, it was like, what'd you say, like 200 points different in batting average or something like that?
It
was a significant.
Lefties are hitting, coming into today, lefties were hitting 325 with an on-base of 366 and slugging 662 against Hayden Wisniewski this season.
And Leiter?
He's been lights out against lefties. Now, again,
so I get the numbers. But
the numbers say that bringing in Leiter there makes sense. Now, the other point that I'm saying, though, is sometimes it's okay to let that go because Hayden Wisniewski didn't look like a guy who was giving up a ton of hard contact or anything like that today. At the same time, I don't know if he had a pitch count. Like, he came out of the bullpen, wasn't expecting to pitch. You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of like in an emergency situation.
Right.
So I don't know how many pitches he was going to get, right? He had like 59 or 60. So that's another thing that, you know, maybe Ryan can ask David Ross about. I don't know. All I know is that analytically it was the right move to go to Leiter. But also at the same time, sometimes I think certain guys, or depending on what things look like, it's okay to give that guy that opportunity. Because, one, we believe in Hayden Wisniewski to be a starter in this rotation one day. Like, a consistent one that, you know, top three, top four of your rotation guy. That's a guy that we believe in. And a guy that looked good today, right? So, again, I'm not blaming David Ross for even taking Wisniewski out. I will criticize David Ross for the next inning when I think it was a walk. Leiter walked a guy right before giving up the other two-run homer.
Yeah.
The fact that David Ross didn't go to someone else after that walk, that's something that deserves more criticism than taking Wisniewski out, in my opinion. Because, again, like, The analytics, the numbers say, it's not even like major analytics, like Leiter Jr. has held lefties well under 200, well under a 200 batting average this year. He's been great. He's been the best, most consistent bullpen arm for the Cubs this year. It made sense to go to him there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like I've already said, Wisniewski looked really good. I think he deserved a little bit more of a leash, but that's a tough decision. And so I think if you're going to be mad at David Ross about any bullpen moves today, it's probably not not removing Leiter earlier, as in starting with someone else in the eighth inning instead of this, you know, instead of him coming in for Wisniewski.
Yeah, Rick DeHouse says the analytics were there to put Leiter in to strike out lefties. It was just a good hit. I would say I do actually agree with Vanilla Chill, who said earlier, in the moment, what went through my head, not second-guessing him, in the moment, what I thought of was, man, he's dealing.
Yeah.
I'd leave him in there.
Yeah. We both said, remember, like, right before he came out, we were both sitting on the couch.
So we were both thinking,
he can go, like, maybe he can go, like, the rest of the game because he was pitching that well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know what's funny is this is exactly the type of moment that Joe Maddon talks about now while he's looking for a job to try and get another job as manager. He's saying, don't just shove the numbers down my throat. Somebody's got to know the base, got to know the feel of the guys in the game. Yeah. And I'm not saying right or wrong in this decision, because I know Leiter has been great in those situations, and Wisniewski was not great. So this heavily analytically said, do it.
Yeah.
And for that matter, we know that Joe made some of those decisions. If you want to nitpick Game 7, go ahead. Yeah. I'm just saying, like,
this is
everybody's wrong every once in a while.
This
turned out to be wrong.
The irony that they did this against the Rays. Remember the Rays in the World Series against the Dodgers?
Yeah.
And they took, and Kevin Cash took out Blake Snell, mm-hmm, whenever he did, and he was dealing that game.
Yep.
This is almost like, obviously not the World Series, not a playoff game. Hell, it's not even the Cubs starter. It's a guy who came in to eat innings because Justin Steele left the game because of injury. But it's kind of the same situation in terms of Kevin Cash went with the analytics, the numbers, what they say in that situation, instead of going with the feel of the game, which was Blake Snell was shoving in that game, and it cost them. They ended up losing the World Series because of that.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, did it cost the Cubs today? I think it's fair to argue that it did. I don't blame fans for being mad about it, but I also don't necessarily blame David Ross for that move being the reason they lost the game. If I blame David Ross for anything, it's not taking Leiter out earlier, more so than that. Because all that two-run homer did was tie it. It's not like it lost the Cubs the game. What lost the Cubs the game was the next two-run homer that Leiter gave up.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, there were still plenty of chances. And I saw that Gerard and Ravi say they agree with me, which I appreciate. And Ravi actually says everybody's wrong that doesn't agree with me.
Yeah.
So that would also be factual after the game. It's a tough call. I agree with you, Cody. I just think there were multiple – listen, the two-run homers to give up the lead twice.
Brutal.
What a kick in the gonads. But they still had multiple chances in the eighth and ninth. You look at that offense in the eighth inning, and they had the runner ready to tie it up. Strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. Three guys struck out.
Yeah.
Right? It was Morel, Swanson, and Happ. Strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. Then in the ninth, you're trying Mastroboni, strikeout.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, as far as the Gomes at bat, and I'm not blaming the game on Gomes either. I said while we're all sitting around the couch watching it, after it went 3-0 and he had done that the previous at bat, professional major league hitter, probably not going to do it. I just sat there with the bat on my shoulder.
Yeah.
You show me you can throw the ball over the plate three straight times. That first one was a debatable call. Then he swung at one that probably would have been a ball.
I think it would have been.
And yeah. So, listen, I don't know. Somebody asked in the chat, if Steele doesn't come out of the game, do they win the game? I don't know. How much better could Wisniewski have done coming in? Guy gave up basically no hits.
Right.
They virtually had a combined no-hitter going.
Yeah.
If they changed the Swanson ruling.
You can argue that if Steele is able to, if he doesn't get hurt or whatever, then they wouldn't have had to use the bullpen the way they did, and perhaps that leads them to a win. But that he came out way too early for it to really decide if he was the reason they lost the game or won the game, whatever. That's just tough, man.
What's up, chat? You feeling worse by the second about it? The game? The more I think about a 4-5 homestand,
this loss honestly wouldn't hurt as bad if they had just won one or two games against the Reds.
Well, could you at least win two against the Reds?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's. I mean, obviously they should have played better against the Reds, but like that's what happens when you don't. Like these losses feel almost worse whenever you don't beat the teams that you should beat, even though the Reds, you know, they just played really well this weekend.
And, Craig, no doubt that Happ did strike out on what was a bad call. I agree. I'd like to see robot umps.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say is it was a ball.
It was borderline.
But it was pretty close with two strikes.
Yeah. I think both things can be true, that it was a ball, but also Happ's got to be better at protecting. Like, I tweeted from our account when he got the RBI single in the first inning today that he's hitting .222 with runners in scoring position this year and like 60 some at bats. He's so in 65 different plate appearances, not at bats, 65 plate appearances or so, he's hitting .220. He was hitting .222 with runners in scoring position coming this game. And listen, I'm not saying Ian Happ is bad. I'm not saying that that the Cubs made a mistake. I'm not saying that at all. He's overall, he's been pretty good for them all season. But in these situations this year, he has not been good.
So just Jed simple said, as that. Jed said in the broadcast,
yeah,
critical times for hits, for whatever reason, they haven't done it. I don't know if that's a luck thing. I don't know if they've got to find a way for guys to have a different mindset in that situation. Yes, again, definitely a ball that was thrown to Happ. Shouldn't have been strike three. But the umpire was calling that crappy strike zone the entire game. Right? Like, yeah. We saw the next half inning, he gave one to the Cubs, and it was like, okay, that was not a strike.
Yeah.
So you also have to be mindful of what this guy's been calling all game, and he was generous with his strike zone in this game.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just four strikeouts in two innings with the tying run at third base.
Yep. The Swanson strikeout in the eighth was brutal.
Hey, the positive in the game, Wisniewski.
Yeah, he was definitely the most positive thing. I also, you know, the beginning of the game was great. They were stealing bases.
Three or four in the game.
I believe they stole three. Mastroboni had one.
Thrown out twice.
Horner had one, and I believe Happ had one.
I think and they tried. Five or six times. They either had three or four.
Yeah. Horner, Happ, and Mastroboni all had stolen bases today. And then they were thrown out a few times, too. Not those guys, but other dudes. Like Tauchman, I believe, was thrown out, and Wisdom was thrown out. But the thing is, the only reason I bring it up is, like, during when they were playing well at the beginning of the year, they were very aggressive on the base paths, and we haven't seen a lot of that this year. I mean, Nico walked to start the bottom half of the first, steals second almost immediately. Like, we hadn't really seen that in a while, so that was encouraging. The way they started the game was great, and they just couldn't add on more runs. Like at the. You know, I can't be mad about them getting two runs off a guy like Zach Eflin, who's been really good for the Rays all season. But, yeah, 4-for-12 with runners in scoring position. They left six guys on base. Actually, we've seen worse numbers than that. But still, like, definitely in the later innings they had their chances and they just didn't get it done. But, yeah, you know, they scored early in the game. Steele looked really good through those three innings and – I hope it's precautionary with his injury, but, you know, we'll talk more about that, I'm sure. But
let's talk about it. Leaves the game after three scoreless innings. If there's anything I want to talk to Ryan about after the game here tonight is I don't understand how he came out of the game when he came out.
Yeah.
If Justin Steele is shaking his left arm, trying to stretch out a tight forearm, and we go to the mound and we've seen him shaking out. He's like, yeah, I was just stretching out some tightness. How do you leave him in the game? I know he got out of the inning, but then you take him out after the inning. I'm not a doctor. I didn't even stay at a Holiday Inn Express. But I don't like forearm tightness in my star pitcher.
Right.
Yeah, I scares the hell out of me.
Right.
So if I walk out there and that's what he tells me, Wisniewski gets as much time as he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you better pray that was just some fluke thing. But guys, it was hot out. Why would his forearm be tight?
Yeah.
Again, not a doctor, not a trainer, not a physical therapist.
Yeah.
Don't like it.
Yeah.
Don't
it is scary.
Like it.
It is scary. Yeah, it's scary.
Don't like it.
I don't really know how to feel about it other than that it is scary and that, you know.
If it's scary enough to take him out after three when the guy's cruising,
yeah,
then isn't it scary enough to take him out when he says, eh, my forearm's tight? The only way I'm okay with that is if they went out there and he was like, nah, I was just shaking my shoulder. And then he came into the dugout and was like, all right, I was shaking it because I got a tight forearm. Okay, different story. But if he said, my forearm is tight, and he pitched another inning just to see if he could pitch out of it.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Not for me.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
Again, I'm not Doogie Howser.
I agree with you in the process as well. And it's not the first time the Cubs have done that with guys either. This is like, how many times have we seen where you, like, for instance, it doesn't have to do with guys that are in the game. How about, like, okay, Bellinger hasn't come off the IL yet. They waited 3 days to actually put him on the IL. You know what I mean? They did the same thing with Horner. They waited a few days to actually put him on the IL. And it's like, I don't understand the process. You know what I mean? So, yeah, in this game's different, or this incident is different because it's an in-game thing. But
yeah. I mean, Steele, we were lucky to avoid injury with Steele when you almost ran him over with the scooter. No, I hope he's okay.
I didn't really almost ran him over.
Of the positives for this season, Stroman, Steele,
yeah.
Nico, but Steele's,
Swanson.
Steele is right at the top of the list.
Yeah.
That's why I just would have been like, hey, you look good. You're cruising.
Yeah.
Let's just check it out.
Right.
Hope he's okay. Hope we find out more after the game. See what we're saying in the chat. Good chat going, by the way.
For the sake of just having the conversation, say he has to take an IL stint. I think Wesneski's going to go back in the rotation, you'd guess, right?
Dr. Steve would have taken him out.
You're just going to completely ignore what I said?
What'd you say?
I said, just for the sake of talking about it, if Steele has to go on the injured list, Wesneski takes his spot, right?
Yes.
Okay.
100%. Has to.
Yeah.
Then who's the long bullpen guy?
Ben Brown.
Well, maybe. Then why not just let Brown come in?
It's fair, too.
Although Wesneski just showed he was good, but mentally you'd be playing yo-yo with the guy.
If Keegan Thompson had been bouncing back in Iowa, I would say he's got to come back, but he's had ups. He's had a lot of downs in Iowa since he went down there. I don't know who would be that. I guess Assad would just go back into that role.
I like to have two guys there for that.
Fair, I agree. But yeah, I don't know.
It's funny because I just heard, I think it was Jed pregame saying, you know, in the spring when you think, man, we got great pitching depth, you know, you always need another arm. Mm-hmm. We didn't know what to do with all the guys.
Well, it does.
Sampson, hurt.
Yep.
Wesneski, up and back.
Up and down, yep.
We don't know what's going on with Steele. We don't know what's going on with Keegan Thompson. Yeah. Killian hasn't been able to prove it. Smiley's been good. So you...
Yeah.
But then Assad, after that great spring, Assad's been...
Yeah. He's been a lot better of late, but also, again, like you said, up and down. It's a roller coaster. So, yeah.
I'll tell you this. I feel better about the way Kyle Hendricks has pitched two games. Were they great? No. At least he's pitching and he's not hurting.
Yeah.
And he gave you a winnable effort. You know? Mm-hmm. He didn't get the win, but it was a winnable effort.
Yeah.
They did win, but he didn't get it. Anyways.
Yeah, I don't really.
The whole game means nothing for me if Steele's actually hurt.
Yeah. I mean, all this game does for me is just remind me of all these other chances in games that the Cubs have had that they just haven't, you know, taken advantage of. They lost the game themselves. Like, it's just the fact of the matter. I got nothing else to say for you.
At least we got the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program, which is always spectacular. You can always count on it.
Yeah, those bright lights, I tell you. It's all
helped
thanks
us
to
out
ComEd.
Last night.
Yeah. So the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities they serve, helping manage energy usage and lower energy bills now and into the future.
Yeah, they have this wide variety of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades to commercial, industrial, and public sector customers of all sizes. ComEd also offers free facility assessments that can help find energy-saving opportunities, HVAC, commercial kitchen equipment, industrial processes.
Ooh, how's it work, Luke?
First, you lose your voice, Cody. Then, an authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. They can be done in person or virtually, last about 2 hours, then 3 to 4 weeks. Get this report detailing the energy efficiency projects you can work on right away. That's included in it. Estimated energy savings, cost savings, project cost, potential incentive, simple payback. If you own a business, don't wait. Get started saving money and energy today. ComEd.com/poweringbiz.
Did you say ComEd.com/poweringbiz, Luke?
I'm glad you could understand that. Yes, schedule it today. You know what I didn't do today?
Well, it's the sound of your voice. I'm assuming you didn't take your athletic greens.
I didn't take my AG1.
And I know Athletic Greens is mainly for, like, your gut health, but, like, I think it just makes your overall wellness better.
It does. Our next partner has a product I've been using every day. Started taking AG1 because I didn't have time. Wanted better gut health, more energy, and optimized immune system. Here's what it is. One scoop of delicious AG1. 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to start your day right. Special blend of ingredients supporting your gut health, your nervous system, immune system, energy, recovery, focus, aging, all those things. I take it first thing in the morning. Look how deep my voice has gotten. It's like I'm a 7-pack Marlboro right now. empty stomach, Zoom, there I go. I sent some to my buddy and he was like, what is that? You know what else happened? Memorial Day, went to the pool. All the other dads at the pool were like, who's that old Adonis? So I walked in shirt off after the AG1. Then I stopped taking it and my voice went out again. Here's the bonus. It costs less than $3 a day. It comes with a free 1-year supply of vitamin D. Right now, reclaim your health, arm your immune system. Convenient daily nutrition, one scoop and a cup of water. That's it. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens giving you a free 1-year supply of that immune-supporting vitamin D. 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Visit athleticgreens.com/CHGOCubs. Again, athleticgreens.com/CHGOCubs. Take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. It does not cure allergies.
Our friend Ryan Herrera sent a tweet about Justin Steele. David Ross said that he's going to get imaging done tomorrow. Oh. For his forearm/elbow.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
And Ross said that he didn't want to take any chances as reasoning for taking him out, and Steele characterized it as precautionary. So I basically still feel the same. I don't feel much different, but if Steele's saying it was precautionary, I guess that's the one, like, silver lining in this. But again, with the way that they manage these types of things, like, I didn't expect Cody Bellinger to be out as long as he has, and here he is. You know, I don't know. If Justin Steele is going to miss a handful of starts,
I'll be surprised if he doesn't miss his next start. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he doesn't miss his next start either. Should we read some of these comments from the chat, Luke?
Hit them up, Cody.
Well,
Riggleman better than Ross, Robbie. I see it. Can't go there yet.
Why people are talking about Rizzo? I don't know why. What's the point?
Vanilla Chill wants to move Suzuki up. Why?
I wouldn't mind it.
Don't
this,
hate
this
it.
This is okay. You want to talk about really, I guess, the lineup in terms of, like, where if I were to make some serious changes. As someone who has loved Nico Horner batting first, batting leadoff, I wouldn't mind if they moved him to second and put Ian Happ at leadoff, just because he's clearly walking a lot this year, but he's just not showing up in these runners with scoring position opportunities. I'm not saying that it should happen. I'm just saying I wouldn't mind seeing it, just to see what happens. Maybe put Swanson in more of those 3 or 4 spots, just based off how this lineup has performed. Same thing, you know, Suzuki is fine at 4. You want to move him to 3rd? Fine. back to back. I don't care.
I don't think any of it saves this offense.
No. I mean, clearly this offense is missing Cody Bellinger.
Yeah.
It clearly is missing Cody Bellinger.
And maybe another bat.
Right.
Shohei.
Now, you know, Mervis, tough day. Mancini, we didn't have to yell about him today outside of him getting thrown out at second.
Which turned out to be
molasses.
Unfortunate.
Which turned out to loom large, honestly, because they could have added on another run and they weren't able to just because he made it.
It was a bad hop off the wall, but.
Yeah. It's the bottom of the lineup, really, that you just don't know what you're going to get more often than not. And so, like, that. I if you really wanted to, like, change, like, significantly change it in a way, I guess I wouldn't mind seeing Hap, batting first or second, just because he gives you really good at-bats, and he does get on base, but he's just not showing up with runners in scoring position right now. So to have him batting third or fourth in your lineup, it's hurting the Cubs right now. You know what I mean? So that would be what I would do, but I don't think they're going to actually do that. Because honestly, like, the as bad as the offense has been in the series, you know, they still went 2-3, but the offense was not good in the series at all. It's not like Ian Happ has been horrifically bad. It's just in these certain situations he has not shown up.
What do you do with Mervis?
I still think you got to run him out there against righties specifically. You just have to. I mean, okay. I know our pal Gary in the chat, Jake Slaughter. I'm pretty sure he can play a little first. I know he's mainly playing third, but like, there's who is in Iowa that is gonna make a drastic change, right? Like, I don't know. I think you got to continue to give Mervis the at bats. Just now, you want to pinch hit him against lefties? That's fine. He has not looked good against lefties, but I don't know. He's had good at-bats. He's had bad at-bats. He's striking out way too much. Yeah, I mean, we're seeing what, you know, how much Major League Baseball is different compared to AAA.
Yes.
For sure.
Multiple times.
So,
yeah. But I know Gary's out there, and he wants him some Slaughter.
Yeah. But I'm not even, like, out on Mervis. And the only thing that I'm saying this about Mervis is that they need him to get the at-bats. They need him to show if he can adjust to Major League pitching. They need him to do that. And so am I glad – am I upset that Hosmer is gone? No. I'm absolutely not upset that Hosmer's gone. Mervis needed to be on this roster because they need to find out who their future first baseman is. That's just the fact that matter. Mancini's going through a tough stretch. Hopefully the hit today helps him. You know, they need him to be better. But the hit today hopefully is a good sign for him moving forward.
I agree Mervis has to stay up and get the at-bats.
Yeah.
Unless it gets so dark and disappointing that you think it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's not benefiting from it.
Right.
We're not there yet.
No.
We're not there yet.
I don't know when you can say that you're there yet. I really don't. But I'm at a point where
if in a month,
I'd rather watch him.
If in 3 weeks he's still sitting where he is with home runs and all of it, maybe.
Maybe. It really will depend on, like, what the results are. Is he hitting the ball hard? Yeah. And I feel like more often than not, he is hitting the ball hard. But he is hitting the ball on the ground a lot, too. He's not getting the ball up. See, he's striking out, hitting the ball on the ground more than he should for the type of player that he is. Just got to start hitting line drives, man. That's what he needs to do.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't lost faith. Everybody in the chat is talking about Rizzo. Rizzo's a perfect example of a guy who went up with the Padres, got sent down, had his ups and downs, and then figured it out.
Right. I don't think it's
I also think it's not fair necessarily to compare Mervis to Rizzo just because they're lefties, just since they're both big guys and they play first base. Like, right. It's natural. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're the same player.
Well, Rizzo was obviously a much highly touted player. He was so much more highly touted than Matt Mervis was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whenever he got the call-up and we sat here, like, I remember saying something along the lines of, like, the hype or, like, the excitement.
Yeah.
The last time I felt that kind of excitement was when Bryant made his debut, but...
Their time in Iowa was similar, though.
Yeah. But, like, that doesn't mean that I think that Mervis has, like, that ceiling that Anthony Rizzo had. So, everyone talking about Rizzo in the chat, like, I get it. If you want to talk about Rizzo, the only thing that I'll say about Rizzo is that right now, he's the only one that seems like the Cubs are really missing. You know what I mean? Like, I know he got hurt the other day, whatever, but, like, he's having a great season. And even though he had a low batting average last season, he still had the power. Maybe that ballpark he's playing in now is probably helping him out a lot, but he's still a productive player, and he gives you gold glove first base defense. Like, I don't blame him. Now, am I high on Kevin Alcantara? Yeah, like, I'm excited for him, but I don't know, man. Like, Rizzo's the only one that I feel like you can sit here right now and say that's not looking too great. So, I don't know. I hope the Cubs can find their first baseman. That's just what they do. Or else it's just going to look really bad for a very long time. And honestly, the Cubs have never really had problems trying to find a first baseman, because it went, like, right before Rizzo, it was Derek Lee, basically, outside of, like, a few years of that tanking, mm-hmm. those tanking years. But, like, you know what I mean? Like,
they never tanked.
When you lose 101 games, you're tanking.
I like, we said last night, I like what Tauchman's done as far as roster spots.
I think he's earned his spot.
They said in the game, how can you evaluate Rios 25 at bats?
Yeah. Got hit by a pitch today. Got on base.
Man, I wish you'd have leaned into it. Give me more bats.
Yeah.
Do you want to see him get more?
Just
to see what they have?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my thing with Rios, is that they just – I don't know what to think when – listen, if you're not getting consistent at bats, everyday playing time at the major league level, you're going to get inconsistency from players. That is the only thing that I will give certain players, like I'll give a break to certain players like Nick Madrigal or
– who, again, homered last night.
Or, you know, some of these, like, other bench guys that they have had. Like, they're not getting consistent play appearances. They're not playing one position, all this and that. But they're all fringe, like, major leaguers anyway. They're not major difference makers, and it's factual at this point. Like, I'm sorry. I think Nick Madrigal has been given plenty of chances to take a role on this team, and he hasn't done it. That's why he's at Iowa. That's it. They could have used him in this game today just because the guy has great bat-to-ball skills, and he probably would have put the ball in play. Say something nice about Nick Madrigal. There you go. but someone like Rios, the only upside that gives him is that he's got in unreal power, and we've seen it, you know? So I wouldn't mind if they give him a few runs at DH, you know? I wish they pinch hit Morel today. I wish they would have found a way to keep him in the game. Maybe the end of the game goes differently, because he got pinch hit at the bottom of the order. He would have got another chance if he stayed in the game. I didn't mind that he didn't start the game, just because I don't think he matched up well against Eflin. That said, he is someone I think has to play every day.
Are they 7-under now?
They are 7-under, yeah. 24 and 31.
Man.
So.
It's a long way back to make this team not tradable. I know what you're saying about the division thing. I'm just saying.
you're right. Like,
they got a lot of winning to do if they're going to not trade off.
Right. I I still just think, though, if you are going to sell at the deadline, you can't just sell everyone, though.
I know.
I don't think selling Stroman is the right move. I don't even think selling Bellinger is the right move. Not if you plan, like, not if you really want to be competing in 2024, which they should. They should be competing in 2024. Like, legitimately competing in 2024. If this quote-unquote rebuild is going the way that Jed said it would go, they should legitimately be competing for the division for a top four playoff spot in the National League next year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The way that they envisioned the quote-unquote rebuild, they should it shouldn't be this if this and this and this happen, maybe they could get in. It should be, we got these guys, these guys, these guys, these guys. That's why we're going to win the division next year, and that's why we are planning to be in the NLCS next year. If they sell off all these pieces on August 2nd or whatever the day is, you could throw that out the window.
Frank, they're only 4.5 out. It's not over. I know. But the garbage division is the only reason we're having the conversation.
You're right.
That's it.
It is. It is.
And I know that's the hand they've been dealt.
Mm-hmm.
But
agreed.
I don't know. It's been an ugly month.
Yeah. This month needs to end. Thank God it ends. What, it ends tomorrow?
Today.
Today.
Last day, isn't it? Yeah.
Today's the 31st, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen to that. Goodbye, May.
I don't know. You want some positivity going into this road trip?
Oh, please.
They just won 2 out of 3 against the Rays. And I know today sucked, but they took 2 out of 3 against the Rays. That has to boost some sort of momentum into this road trip. They won 2 out of 3 against the Rays. That's kind of showing that, hey, we can play with anyone, right? Last year's team, there's no way that any of that team was beating a team like the Rays. Last year's team went to New York and got pounded by the Yankees and other teams like this year's Rays team. You know what I mean? Outside of that one series where they won 2 out of 3 against the Braves, which made no sense. But that's baseball.
Halfway through the third game of this series, they were beating the Rays by a combined score of 5-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had them.
They found a way to... They found a way to win some one-run ball games, and that was something that they haven't been doing. So,
Jack, only in Chicago do we act like the world is falling after winning a series against the best team in baseball. Well, no, I actually did that on the heels of a sweep to the Reds. that's when the world was collapsing.
Yeah.
And then the Rays, couple wins against the Rays reeled you back in a little bit.
Yeah. I understand it's a roller coaster, and I understand that There's reason for hope, but we both know the Cubs should have a better record than this. And I think that's probably what everyone's frustration is. That's certainly my frustration. They should have a better record than this with the play that they've had. You're telling me that Dansby Swanson has been honestly better than what we expected? Honestly? Offensively wise, I think you could say he's been better than what we expected, especially with the ability to get on base. Nico Horner's played like an all-star second baseman this year. There's no questioning that. You've got Ian Happ extended on top of Horner, and Ian Happ, despite his struggles with runners in scoring position, has put up really good numbers. Cody Bellinger, who people thought was cooked before he got hurt, was great. Not only defensively, but offensively. Justin Steele has put himself in the National League Cy Young race. Marcus Stroman has also put himself somewhere near that conversation. Drew Smyly has been better than anyone could have imagined.
The individual storylines have been good.
It's not just one or two players, though.
Two things have sucked down the team.
The bullpen, at least especially the last few weeks.
The worst bullpen ERA in the National League.
The last
shocking
month. Yeah. Yeah.
This season, their ERA in the bullpen is the worst in the National League. In baseball, only the A's, the Royals, and the White Sox have a worse bullpen ERA.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. Wild. Number two is runners in scoring position.
Yes. Those are the two things. So, I'm not making excuses. I'm saying that from when you look at the numbers for a lot of the players on this team and you look at the pitching and how it's kept the Cubs in a lot of games and has won them games, they should be better than 7 under 500, man. They should be better than that. So that's what's frustrating about this team is, like, they're just underachieving. Truly, they're underachieving. They should be better than this. And anyone who thinks that what their record is right now is what they are, I don't believe that you've watched every game then.
Joey's taking receipts.
I got in a lot of trouble last time I did that. So. my receipts looked better when they were playing well. Those people that after, I think, the fourth game of the season were making some bold declarations. I mean, they had reason to be upset and concerned. And, yeah, I don't – Cody's right. They could have been and I think they should have won a lot more games. Not a lot, but considerable amount of games up at this point. But then you just think about how bad it could have been if they didn't get off to that good start.
Yeah.
They could have just
real bad. Like Frank agrees with me, by the way.
They should at least be a 500 team. They should be right at 500. Or
which would maybe put them like a game out of first.
Right. They should at 500 or a game or two under 500 at least with the performances that they've got out of starting pitching and the offense. And hell, their bullpen hasn't been this bad the entire year. Their bullpen definitely helped them, especially during that, you know, when they started 14-10 or whatever it was. So, yeah, you're right, though. This month, the big thing that's hurt them the most is the bullpen and hitting with runners in scoring position. Those are the two things that have really hurt the team this month.
I just saw a huge thumbs down coming across the screen. One jerk store out there gave me a thumbs down. Oh, well, what you going to do?
I always just think they're giving me the thumbs down.
Nah, it's probably me.
You sure?
Yeah, it's probably a family member.
Everyone agrees with you.
Could be a family member.
The people who thumbs down, definitely me. They don't like me. They like you.
Actually, it's probably for Joey.
People are like, oh, that guy who used to do beer money, I'll hit the like for him.
No,
there's this other guy wearing a stupid hat.
Maybe it's because they lost on beer money and they're like, he cost me cash. I had the right answer. Fubo TV, 140 plus live channels of sports, shows, movies, and news. Stream live TV from any device. Watch the most Chicago sports for the lowest price and start watching right away with the 7-day free trial. No contract, no cable, no hassle. Sign up and start watching. 1,000 hours of cloud DVR, no extra charge. Watch your local teams while traveling. You got the French Open going on. Watch the Cubs on Marquee with Fubo. Use the link in description. Sign up for 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro. Also want to tell you about our friends at FOCO, Cody. If you've noticed.
The guy who shoved today, he's right here on the corner.
He shoved.
For 3 2/3.
Wisniewski's back. His bobblehead's back. Clark the Cub is proud and tall.
Yep.
Cubs fans get fitted out with the best sports gear around. Hoodies, shoes, signs, bobbleheads, everything in between. It's baseball season. That means Aloha shirts, straw hats, polos, bags, everything you need. Love the set decorations. FOCO.com. Click the link in the description below for all non-presale items. Use the promo code CHGO for 10% off. I gotta get the, what do they call it? The cheeseburger sleeve? Italian beef sleeve?
The beef sleeve?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't golfed this year, but when I do, I want to have that beef sleeve with me.
From Pens and Aces?
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't golfed this year either. I also just don't golf. I just like to wear golf apparel.
Ravi says I sound like the guy that said 83. Clark from Des Plaines.
Bears fan man says he agrees with me. Not many people do, so I appreciate you.
Bears fan says, remember when Cody was saying one run losses were going to hurt us later in the season, and Luke was like, it'll be okay.
There was a lot of it'll be okays from you and Ryan in April whenever the Cubs were, trotting out Eric Hosmer every other game.
Playing Hosmer is not going to cost this team. If they can't fix the bullpen, that's going to cost the team.
Okay, well, back then when the bullpen was actually decent and the offense started to sputter a little bit because David Ross is putting Eric Hosmer fifth in the lineup, yeah, he was costing them games. I will argue that. He did cost them a handful of games at least.
Games like today and Saturday suck the life out of a ball club.
Yeah.
They did win this series against the Rays, but Saturday against the Reds, did a lot of good things, couldn't pull through. Today, you had to lead twice. You had two good pitching performances, and you just couldn't do it. Ryan Herrera joins us.
Speaking of Ryan.
Is he there?
Speaking of Ryan
Mr.
Herrera.
Mr. Herrera, are you there? Wait, we're getting him. I heard the noise.
Speaking of Ryan Herrera, Nathan says, remember when Ryan was hard defending Hosmer? LOL.
Means there's a lot of slander coming your way right now, Ryan. Me, you, we're all being attacked. You, me, Rossi.
It's okay. I'm getting attacked too. We're all getting attacked today.
I can't find the shirt that Ryan's wearing.
What, the Skyline one?
Yeah, it's my favorite CHGO. I don't know where it is. It's disappeared.
The hell is stuck?
It's like the laundry gremlins took it or something. Can't find it.
I just need to buy a new one.
Can't find it. Ryan, please tell me that the Cubs think there's nothing wrong with Justin Steele.
Yeah, I mean, they characterize it as precautionary. Mm-hmm. You know, Ross said that as Steele went out for the third inning, he got some word that he had a little bit of throbbing in that area, Steele. Apparently, Justin didn't feel it while he was throwing. It was more so like cooling down or walking around the mound, which is a little interesting, in my opinion. But, you know, I'm no forearmologist, but it just seems a little different. But he said that, you know, the radar was up, talked to the trainers, they felt comfortable letting him go out. They saw him kind of, was it like pumping the hand, stretching the forearm a little bit during that third inning. So that's when they went out for the mound visit. I didn't even talking to him then, you know, obviously in conjunction with the trainer, again, felt comfortable letting him go out and finish that inning. But then as he's kind of watched him pitch a little bit more, the more nervous he got, just the more he watched Justin pitch. I think it was more of just like seeing him kind of flexing with the forearm and stuff. So after that, like that's when he went ahead and pulled him out. Again, he said precautionary. Steele also characterized it as precautionary. So running with what we've been given for now. And they're going to get imaging done tomorrow. See what happens. We got the off day tomorrow, so see what happens, I guess, when they're in San Diego.
Ryan, did I hear this wrong? Before the term they gave us was left forearm stiffness. But you're saying they actually used the word throbbing at one point? The word throbbing was used by somebody.
I mean, Ross said a little bit of throbbing. No, what we got was left forearm tightness, I want to say was what it was.
The Cubs put it out. They said left forearm tightness.
Yeah. You said stiffness. Sorry, that. I don't know. That's what Ross's quote was. This is when he got back out there in the third. I got word that he had a little bit of throbbing in the elbow. I don't know what that means. Again, I don't know what that means. And again, he said and Justin both said that it wasn't even when he was in the act of throwing that he didn't really feel it. So I don't know. It's The characterization of it feels a little bit weird, but they're going to get imaging done tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't. I guess you hang your hat on that Wesneski looked good. You hope the best for Steele. I mean, you hope the MRI shows nothing. You know, at worst, you hope it shows a tiny little strain and he misses a little time, but.
Yeah.
Wesneski, what about the decision to pull? Did he say it was just basically numbers, or was that not addressed after the game?
Well,
Wesneski for lighter.
Yeah, he said it was. You know, I think what he said specifically is that he loves lighter and against lefties, right? Which I get. I understand the Hayden's been rolling. He's dealing whatever. I understand the argument, but the right move there is to put in Mark Leiter Jr. He's your best reliever against, he's one of your best relievers in general, but your best reliever against lefties. Hayden was at what, 60 pitches, 3 2/3, just walked a guy. He had a good day today, but before today, like, look at his splits against lefties and they weren't very good. Like, the move, the right move, whether you know, if you want to say, before the results actually happen, right? Like, maybe you leave Hayden in and he gets the job done, right? We don't know that. Mark Leiter Jr., like, if you want to go based on the numbers and based on who's likely to get out of that inning, the right move is Mark Leiter Jr. against a lefty. Didn't work out, obviously, but it's one of those things where you're second guessing him versus like looking at the thought process. And I think I thought the thought process was sound. I thought that was the spot you put in Mark Leiter because he's your best reliever against lefties at this point in time. And yeah, just didn't work out. But that's what he addresses. Like, Ross said that, he likes Mark Leiter Jr. in those spots, and he's been really successful in those spots, which you can't really argue against it. Like, for the majority of the season, I think for the most part, Leiter's had the best numbers against lefties out of that bullpen. It just didn't work out today.
Well, if you go the flip side, because we were feeling that before he gave up the home run, I was like, I don't know, he was rolling, but I know what you're saying. Like, the numbers overwhelmingly say Wes Neske, not good against lefties. Leiter, great against lefties. Do it. He's at a higher pitch count. He's just come at all of those things say take him out. It's one of those manager decisions where it's like, if he had a gut feel, do you go gut feel or do you go what the numbers are telling you? In this case, maybe he didn't even have the gut feel for it. But again, I don't think that determined the game.
Right.
Because they had more opportunities with runners in scoring position, and ultimately strikeout, strikeout, strikeout in the eighth and another strikeout in the ninth. It's like the Rays were trying to give it back to them, and they just couldn't get the hit. I don't know how you solve that. Yeah. Honestly, I don't. I don't know how you fix clutch hitting. I've never known how you fix it.
If it was like an easy answer, I'm sure like David Ross would have implemented it, right? If there was some easy solution, he would have. There was something he could throw in their water bottles and make them better, make the clutch hitting better. He would have done it. But it's a very tough solution. But again, as when we talked about all, preseason and even, I guess the first few weeks was kind of, we thought we were wrong those first few weeks, but we knew coming into the season, like this, the success of this team was going to be built on the pitching and the defense. And I mean, you saw it again. I mean, they took 2 of 3 against the Rays, the best team in baseball, on the backs of their pitch, right? Like, even today, they almost won it. I mean, I know the bullpen gave up a couple of runs there in the end again, but I mean, Steele was perfect 2-3. Hayden had a really good outing. Like, the pitching nearly got it done again, nearly got them the sweep. It's hard to hit, but yeah, it's been kind of showing the last few weeks, maybe even like a month now, where the 2 outs or the runnings in scoring position, whatever that situation is, like, they just haven't had the success in that. And I mean, you could tell that based on their record in like one run games, right? I think they're 4-11, something like that now. So they just haven't gotten the job done.
Any other quick nuggets before we hit the off day?
Bellinger started to pick up a few more things. I don't remember exactly what the update was today. Let me find it real quick. But there's no real timeline, I guess, on him. I think one of the main things is, again, this is what we talked about a few days ago, like making sure all of the pain or whatever is out of that left knee. I think maybe like an early June is maybe a good estimate. But he's, still continuing drill work in the cage. He started throwing, getting workouts in behind the scenes, had not started running. Obviously they hope that kind of begins in the next couple of days and they can get him back here soon. But again, like we talked about yesterday, with Jared, that Mike Tauchman has done a pretty good job in his place. And maybe has earned maybe that look as a fourth outfielder.
Yeah.
Quickly, who you got Saya Swanson, Talkman Wisdom, Master Boney. My guy's the only guy with two hits.
Yeah, my guy hit two balls well over 100 miles per hour today, unfortunately, right into gloves.
Let me see here. Anybody?
Yeah, I mean, Wisdom.
Talkman had an RBI. So.
Yeah, Talkman had a good day.
Talkman had an RBI. My guy had two hits.
Luke Talkman had a hit. Luke had Saya, and Corey had Talkman.
Talkman had a walk, an RBI, and a hit. It's Talkman or Saya.
I think it's, I mean, you probably just give it to Saya, right? Looks like it's probably him.
Saya had a double, too, right?
Saya's was, yeah, a double.
Yeah, a double in the seventh, yeah.
I'd give it to Saya. I'll give
take it.
What a great way to head into the off day. Losing to the Rays, be damned. I won. Who you got?
Can I make one more comment related to the game?
Yeah.
All right. So I was just looking at the box score. And the Rays brought in Beeks, left-handed pitcher. And when they brought him in, he faced, I believe, Master Boney and Yan Gomes, because they pinch hit Barnhart for Gomes, I believe. I think
Gomes for Barnhart.
Yeah, Gomes for Barnhart. Whatever. There, the Cubs on the bench right now. They have Rios and Master Boney. Like, guys, you can count Barnhart because he's not playing every day, but they're never going to use him to pinch it. So they got a handful of lefties on the bench, and like, I don't know how you do it, but God, I think you gotta bring Madrigal back in some fashion, I guess.
We've come full circle. He's hitting home runs.
I hate it. I hate the idea of it. I don't even necessarily agree with what I'm saying, but I did say earlier, and credit to me, big of me to actually say this, that if Madrigal probably was batting, especially in Master Boney spot that time, they probably are able to get a run in because his bat-to-ball skills.
Oh, my goodness.
His bat-to-ball skills are elite. That's the one thing the guy has is he puts the ball in play. They're always ground balls to second base, but he puts the ball in play.
It's a man of integrity.
Man of integrity. Don't say that I'm just some flip-flopping cuck on the internet, all right?
He has changed his opinion.
It's the one thing the guy is good at is situational hitting, because all he does is put the ball in play. And when you got guys on third base with less than two outs and you can't get runners in, he is the one guy that they probably could have got a run in to tie the game. So, but I don't know who you send down, because I think Master Boney's been fine in the role that Madrigal's that is Madrigal's. He walked today, got a stolen base. I'm sorry. Sorry, Joey. Joey's ready for me to end the show.
No, all
I'm
saying is, like,
I don't know who you send down, man. So we can talk about it tomorrow. We can talk about the bench, whatever, tomorrow. I don't know. All I know is that they got to get better in situational hitting. And he is the one guy they have that I actually feel good with if they have less than two outs and have a runner on third base. So that said, big of me. Credit to me.
This ball game's over. 4-3. Wow. Comeback win for the Rays. They do take two out of three. Now they take an off day before they head to San Diego. Thanks to everybody in the chat. We had a good one again today. Appreciate all your comments. Thanks for checking out CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings. Until tomorrow's off day podcast, 120, Corey Friedman also involved. Until then, fly the W.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.